Discover personally how the Word of God can affect a change in your life through the ministry of Bishop Dyke-Ewood Mills. Dyke-Ewood Mills is the founder of the Lighthouse Chapel International, a denomination with over 2,000 branches worldwide. He is a healing evangelist and the author of several best-selling books. He is also the pastor of the First Love Church, a campus ministry with over 200 branches. The First Love Church is a vibrant church with young, energetic people full of first love for the Lord. Now listen to Dyke-Ewood Mills.
Hallelujah, you may be seated. Amen. What a blessing. Are you glad to be in church? So, when we come to the house of the Lord, you know, we are used to certain things. You know, you must put on your Sunday best, sing some hymns, have a sermon, and go away. But I believe that the house of God is a house of prayer and also a house of solutions. Amen. So, it's not a one-way thing about either God only speaking to you or you only speaking to God. It's not only about we doing something or God doing something, but it's a time for God to do something and for us also to do something. Amen. Is it fantastic? That is fantastic. Now, we must, when we come to the house of the Lord, have a mind that we've come to a place of solutions. Amen. We've come to a God who is real. You know, one of the reasons why I didn't join the church earlier, when I say the church, I mean Christ, is because I didn't find it real. I felt the people were fake. I felt church was fake. Everybody was, you know, not real. And even up till now, when I go to certain churches, you know, I just think of funerals. Even up till now, when I hear certain hymns, not even certain hymns, most hymns, I just think of rigid, religiosity, which is not real. So, when we come to the house of the Lord, I believe that we can have a great experience that is real. Something out of your heart. Amen. Now, one of the things that makes Christianity sometimes a little unreal is when we associate it with certain special things, like sometimes dressing. When we dress, we have to dress in a specific way. Then it is like God can be seen and heard when we dress in a particular way. True or not true? Because he's available when we are specially dressed for a special occasion. Meanwhile, God is needed every day, every moment, and every hour. Hallelujah. And when people are in danger, they shout, "Jesus." Is it not true? Yeah. They shout, "Jesus." Why did you not wear your Sunday best before you shouted, "Jesus"? Because Jesus is not somebody who is restricted to a special Sunday event. He is for our lives all the time. And that is why with the Holy Communion, you know, I put aside all these golden cups, because I had all of them. But when the Lord started to show me that the Holy Communion is almost a physical thing. Because he said that my bread, my body is meat indeed, which means that it's a drug. And my blood is drink indeed, which means that it's like a medicine. Like medicine. You know, there are different types of drinks, like that have different effects. When you go to the hospital and they do a test and they tell you that your cholesterol is high, there is a tea that when you drink will lower that cholesterol. Tea. The type of tea. Yeah. But it's just a drink. You could say it as a drink. But it's instead of taking certain drugs to lower your cholesterol, you see, a drink that you are having can change that and may save your life. Yes. Then, if your blood pressure is high, there's also a tea that can lower your blood pressure as much as 7 points. Yes. Tea. So when Jesus says, when the Bible says that my blood is drink, indeed, like, which means that it is beyond a drink. It's a drink indeed. It's a really serious drink. Maybe it was our way of talking. We say it's a serious drink. It's a major drink. Kabashakaya. So that is why, you know, I put aside all those golden cups, because it makes it something far. I have to wear a white robe with some other things before a drink that I need. Yeah. Can be had. Now. And so when it comes to God, he's not somebody that you need to be specially dressed with your best hairstyle and your wig. Some of you are feeling hot with your wigs. If you feel free, just remove it and we know who you are. In this church, we deal with realities. Huh? The boys will be scared. No, first love boys, they know realities. And if you don't know, I don't want to say it in the microphone. Ask any sister how to know whether the hair is real hair or it's not real hair. There are about 3 signs. So just watch it and you know that it's fake. Yeah. It's true. signs of reality. Hallelujah. So when we come to the house of the Lord, we need a real God who really intervenes in our lives. Amen. And we need not just a one-way experience, but we need a multi-directional experience. So as we are here, you are having like from heaven is coming to you, and you to God, God to you, you to God. By the time we leave here, we are soaked and mixed up with God. Yeah. Amen. Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40. Amen. Verse 1. And I know beautiful. Comfort ye. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. As you are here today, God is comforting you concerning any and even concerning your mother and your father. And from whatever family difficulty you are experiencing, because this is a prophecy from the Lord. Comfort ye, my people. Comfort my people, saith your God. Kaba Shakaya. Verse 2. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her. Amen. That her warfare is accomplished. You know, as we prayed between the porch and the altar, and mind you, porch and altar is day 9 will be announced soon, day 9 to day 12. Those times of prayer are times of warfare. Yes. Where we arrest evil spirits. And when I say evil spirit, there are many evil spirits in the atmosphere, in the world. Remember, there were 6,000 demons in one man. So if you are taking off ratios, 1 to 6,000. Huh? A legion. And they are easily defeated by believers. And even the stubborn ones, I don't know, but during the porch and the altar meetings, God gave us such wonderful revelations how to even overcome devils that are in people. Those are the most stubborn ones. But the devil is usually protected by stubbornness, a stubborn spirit. So it doesn't easily move. So you'll find other people you have problems with, they rarely change. How many have noticed that a person that you have issues with rarely changes since you knew the person and you have been talking about that issue? Raise your hand if you have had that experience. Yes. And those who are married, you see it even more. Demons easily occupy spouses. Yes. Easily. That is why a nice and beautiful and peaceful person can become warfare. Yes. You know, like one lady told her daughter, she said, I was sweet like you. No mere in your forfable, I was nicer than you. I was also sweet. He said, it didn't just become as I am. Oh, you don't understand the tree that I'm speaking. Hey. So when we come to the house of the Lord, we are here, all right, to hear from God. And he said, speak comfortably. So today, God is speaking comfortably to you and saying to you, your warfare is accomplished. Your warfare is accomplished. And your iniquity is pardoned. May every sin you have committed and every mistake you have committed be under the blood of Jesus today. Do you know that only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin? I heard somebody say the other time, go and make a donation so that you may receive the mercy of God. Listen, you cannot buy God's favor with money. And God does remember your gifts. There's no doubt about that. But if you think God is as cheap as giving him money to make a difference, then you don't know God. Even me, you can't do that with me. Even me, a nobody. Money is not what can work with me. Yes, even somebody like as low as me. How much more God? You can't. So her iniquity is pardoned. And I tell you today, the only thing that can wash away your sins, and there is no way you can ever come to God without being conscious that there are sins. How many can feel some already? Yes. You can feel it. You feel it all the time. And those are the ones you feel. What about the ones you don't feel? Pride is not something you feel. Lust we feel, but pride we don't feel. And how you are, you never see. Okay, everybody, I'll give you a look at your face now. I mean, your own face. Look at it now. I said, look at your face now. Can you see it? You see, you can't even see your face. And you are arguing. So sometimes somebody will tell you something, you can't even believe it. The person said, there is Gary on your mouth. And you say, no, but I see the Gary. For she has received double for her sins. Now, you may not know, but we are all suffering already for our sins. You see, some of you, your coffin, if it has not been made, it will be made. Why? Your sins. Sin has sentenced us to death. Your coffin will not be made in the next few years. Say, God forbid. Say, God forbid. God forbid. In Jesus' name. But I want you to know that certain things we are suffering, I tell you, our mistakes and our sins, we are experiencing the sadness that comes from some of the mistakes we've already made. Yes. Verse 3. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for God. Amen. Verse 4. Every valley shall be exalted. What whatever makes you low, low in this life, in the name of the Savior, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke that thing in Jesus' name. Whatever makes you walk down lower than you are supposed to be in a valley you don't belong to, in Jesus' name, I declare the valley shall be filled in your life. Amen. Sit down. Comfort ye, my people. Today God is speaking comfortably to you. Shakabayandalaba. And every mountain and every hill, verse 4, every mountain and a hill shall be made low. Now today, you see, this is a comfort. God is speaking. I don't know who came to church early enough. God is telling you that what stands as very big, what stands as very high, and you can't imagine how it can go away. God's power is clearing that obstacle before you. In the name of the Savior Jesus. Yes. You are standing today. Here's a mountain. Here's a hill. How can I go over? By the power of God, whatever stands as a mountain before you, I rebuke the mountain and I say, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea. In Jesus' name. Now, please, if you don't sit down, you'll fly. Now, every crooked shall be made straight. Now, do you know what is a crooked? A crooked is something that makes you also crooked. Yes. You see, in Ghana, many people are crooked and becoming more crooked. Yes. You know, one day I spoke to a brother. I said that where you have worked, even I said that you work at that place for that long, you'll be corrupted. I told him, you'll be corrupted. You don't even realize it. Before you realize, you are some way. And you even don't understand that you are some way. Yeah. Because of the place you are working, you'll be corrupted. Because the road you are on is a crooked road. Nothing is straight. Yes. Politics is like that. A lot of things are not straight. Deception, lies, power play, money, contracts, inflation of things, lies, deception. That's why the country, all the roads you see, they are all in people's pockets. Yes. They are all in people's pockets. If you think Ghana has ever been poor, you don't know, Ghana. If Ghana was poor, all Lebanese, Indian, Chinese, and whatever will leave Ghana today. If you count the number of Chinese, number of Indians, number of Lebanese, number of businessmen that are in Ghana, and the flights to Ghana every single day that are full. For if it wasn't that there is so much here, they will not be coming here. There is so much here. And look at it outside. So there are many jobs. If you stay in that job, you become crooked. When I was working at Kolebu, I said to myself, if I don't live here, something will negative will happen. Because even in the mortuary, they were bringing money to the doctors. Put my dead body at the cooler part of the fridge. You have to visit your dead. I mean, have you heard of visiting a dead person? You have to visit, you have to come on visitation regularly. And I said to myself, I didn't train medical school, go through all this, be one of the best in the country in the exams. Not this exam. Not this one. This one is bogus. That's my opinion, and I'm entitled to an opinion. I'm entitled to an opinion that WASI is a bogus examination and BEC is also bogus. It's not recognized by anybody anymore. We used to recognize all over. It's not recognized. When you do it, it has no recognition. And I didn't do that to stand in the mortuary to receive people's tips. I found it low. So every crooked thing in your life shall be made straight. Wherever you are placed, if your life is becoming crooked, I prophesy, and I bless you that your life will be straight and clear in Jesus' name. Amen. Sit down. I hope you are listening. Because this is a sudden blessing for everybody in the church before even the church even starts. Yes. And the rough places plain. What is a rough place? A rough place is something that makes you fall down. Yeah, because it wasn't straight and then you trip. Whatever represents a rough place, rough for your life, tripping you, making you trip, making you fall, making you go down, making you descend, making you suddenly fall. In Jesus' name, I curse that rock, I curse that stone, and I bless all my children. I say that your road shall be made smooth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sit down. It's an early morning blessing. Kaya bashata.
I receive it.
Verse 5. Beautiful. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God has said it. Who can change it? God has stretched out his hand. Who can turn his hand back? The mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Your life will be beautiful. Things will be glorious. Because God has declared it. You know, God told me. He said, go and prophesy over my children.
Prophesy
over my children publicly.
Publicly. Yes, sir.
Publicly. Prophesy over them. And the prophecies that have been declared will fight on your behalf.
I receive it.
Because when the word of the Lord has gone forth, you can't easily turn that word backwards. Hallelujah. The next verse, verse 6. And the voice said, cry. The voice said what? Cry. And he said, what shall I cry? He said, what shall I cry? Now, we are about to pray for a moment. And, you know, there is always a good question. What shall I cry? Because the voice said, cry. Or pray. And then the question is, what shall I cry? What shall I cry? Wow. So that's why Jesus took time to teach his disciples how to pray. Prayer is something you actually have to learn how to do. And there's great hope whenever we pray. Amen. Psalm 119. Verse 145. Psalm 119, verse 145. I cried with my whole heart. Hear me, O Lord. I will keep thy statutes. You see, crying with your heart. At least your heart should be involved. Yes. You know, when people are in love, they speak from their heart. When they are no more in love, they speak from their head. Yes. Yeah, that's why prostitutes don't kiss. Because their heart is connected to the mouth. So out of the heart, then there is a kiss. Yes. When people are not in love, they don't kiss. Yes. They may have sex, but kissing, it is not what's in the heart. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks, or the mouth acts.
Kebasha. I receive it.
Yeah. Are you here or you are leaving? Yes. I cried with my whole heart. The heart must be involved. Yes. Oh Lord, I will keep thy statute. You see, when it comes to prayer, you have to do it from your heart. And God will hear. He said, cry. I said, what shall I cry? From your heart. Cry from your heart what you feel. I can't give you notes of what to say to somebody you love, you are going to propose to. I should write it in a book and so that you go and read it out. A person will say, are you serious? What are you saying? You don't believe what you are saying. There is a prayer from you to God. It's not on any topic in the Bible, this, that, whatever, with King James words. It is your heart. And today we are going to cry from our hearts. Cry, and a voice said, cry. And I said, what shall I cry about? And the psalmist said, I cried from my heart. And I said, Lord, hear me. I will keep thy statutes. Isaiah 40 and verse 1. Beautiful.
Come forty, my people. Come forty.
Today God is comforting you.
Saith your God. Saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Speak ye comfortably.
Speak comfortably.
Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, and her iniquity is pardoned, and her
iniquity is pardoned today. Your iniquity is pardoned today. Your mistakes are overlooked today. Comfort ye, my people.
Comfort ye.
Receive it now.
I receive it.
Comfort ye.
Receive the comfort from God.
I receive it.
Comfort ye, my people. Saith your God.
Saith your God.
Saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem. Speak ye comfortably.
This is what you are hearing today. God said I should speak comfortably to you.
And cry unto her that her warfare.
Your prayers.
Your prayers. Is accomplished. And her iniquity.
Stand to your feet, everybody. Your hands. Your hands. Cry to the Lord from your heart. Kaya
Mashama.
Call unto God from your heart. Jesus. Thank you.
Comforty.
Maya.
Comforty.
Oh God.
People.
Oh God.
Saith your God. Saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem.
Jesus, thank you for your power. Thank you for your grace.
Jerusalem, and cry unto her that
from your heart, whatever is on your heart, nothing particular, nothing, something special written somewhere. Call on God from your heart.
Jerusalem. to her that her warfare is accomplished and her iniquity.
Now just thank God for your iniquities are pardoned. Thank Him for the blood of Jesus. There is no amount of money that can wash away your sins, because not everybody has money, but we all have the blood of Jesus. We all have the grace of God. Thank you, Father, for the grace. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for our iniquities.
Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished and her iniquity is pardoned and her iniquity is pardoned.
Father, we lift our hands and we thank you for the mercy. We ask for it, Lord, for mercy and forgiveness for our iniquities. Father, have mercy. All our words that were wrong, our thoughts that were wrong, our actions that were wrong. What we were supposed to do, we didn't do, Lord. We pray for forgiveness, for mercy. We thank you for the blood of Jesus by which we are forgiven. If we don't confess our sins, we shall not be forgiven. But if we confess our sins, we are pardoned and we are cleansed from all unrighteousness. We receive it. We thank you for the prophecies of our lives, for you have spoken comfortably to us today. We receive it. We thank you that every valley shall be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. Every crooked way shall be made straight. And the rough places smooth. Thank you for your power that is already at work in the life of everybody here. We give you thanks, Lord. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Whatever represents an enemy in your life, God is saying to you today, it cannot stand anymore.
I receive it.
It cannot stand any.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
How many of us know that it's not possible to live in this world without enemies and people with bad thoughts? Even in your own house, people have bad thoughts. So, thank God for His blessing. But you know, I feel still prophetic words for you. Turn to Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. These are all prophetic words. The Lord has appeared of old unto me. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. Saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. What God is saying to you is love. He loves you with an everlasting love. But I'll tell you, the truth is that we feel that God is angry with us most of the time. Do you know why? Because of our feelings and our thoughts, which are many times negative. But you must believe it. The most difficult relationship that you can ever have is a relationship of love and fear. Where I love you but you fear me. So that's the most, Derek Prince, he has a teaching called Take Heed to Yourself, Part 1 and 2. And in that teaching, he spoke about this. He said the most difficult relationship you can have with anybody is a relationship of insecurity and fear. Because you can come to the person, I love you. Oh, are you sure? I said, I really love you. You don't love me. And it's difficult for the person to believe in love. The person is never happy and never believing. And we are like that with God. When he comes to us with an everlasting life, we say, Lord, my fornications. It's the first thing that comes to your mind. Your fornications, your lies, your stealing, your bad ways. True or not true? So when he says, I love you, you remember? And you say, But you see, God wants someone who, when he says, I love you, the person smiles and jumps. How many would like to marry a girl who, when you say, I love you, she says, oh. Or you want to marry somebody when you say, I love you, you say, are you sure? Which one do you want? The one who smiles and jumps and is very happy with everything. Everything, the person is happy about it. May you have such a nice person in your life. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. So today, as you've come to church, God is loving you. Yes, God is loving you.
Amen.
So all the prophecies and the words, they are his love for you. With a loving kindness. And he says, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And God is drawing you closer to him with his loving kindness. And verse 4. Yes, 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 yes. Again, I will build thee. God says, I'm building you.
Amen.
And thou shalt be built. So what does it mean? It says, he's building up your life. And you shall be built up.
I receive it.
Nothing can prevent your life from being built up by the one who is building you up. I will build thee. And thou shalt be built. Amazing. So when I stand here in the church and I see how he has built us up, I say, wow, it is his power. And whatever grace there is here,
Professor,
you are declared a partaker of that grace in the name of Jesus.
I receive it.
He says, again I will build thee and thou shalt be built. Stand to your feet, please. Lift your hand and say, Lord, I accept your love. Build me up. Because God is saying, I will build thee. This is a prophecy. I will build you up, your life, your relationship, your marriage, your home. You will stay in a house with a number of rooms. And he will build you up. He will put a car in front of you to drive. He will give you what you have never seen before in your life. God is doing it fantastically for you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for building us up, building up our lives, building up our future, building our homes, building us up, not tearing us down. You are not tearing us down. You are building us up. We receive your building. Oh, Ramasito Ramakandala Babashandala. Mando bababa 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 me la ramba romba nandare bashabalade. Oh yes, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Lift your hands as we gather in your presence. We thank you for building us up, Lord. We thank you. We thank you.
Spirit.
We thank you for building us up. We thank you for lifting everybody here up. Thank you for little children, Lord. Thank you for grown-ups, Lord. Thank you for everybody here. It's being built up. We receive your prophecy, Lord. We receive your word. You build us again. You build us again. Thank you for building up our lives by your great power as we gather in your presence.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us.
As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning.
New every morning.
New every morning. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Great is thy faithfulness.
They are new every morning.
Hallelujah. Why don't you put your hands together for Jesus and give the Lord a shout of praise. Oh, do it better for the Lord. Celebrate him this morning at the prophetic encounter service. God is going to meet you at the point of your need. Amen. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 4 that where the word of the king is, there is power. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that this power will give to us all that pertains to our life and our godliness. God will supply every need in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to read our first testimony all the way from Manila, Philippines. Amen. Prophet was over in Manila getting to the end of the year, and there were amazing miracles. God's power was real. And why are we sharing this testimony? Because God is not a respecter of persons. If he did it for somebody in Manila, he would do it for you right here in Jesus' name. Shout yes if you believe it. Good day, Bishop Doug. I'm from Cathedral of Praise in Manila, Philippines. I would like to share my testimony. My wife and I have been trying to have a child for 7 years. On your last visit here, we believe my wife had a healing through the power of the Holy Spirit. We were praying and believing God for twins, even though we knew it doesn't run in our families. I'm excited to say that by the grace of God, my wife is currently 6 weeks pregnant with twins. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Where the word of the Lord is, there is power. When God speaks, power follows the words to perform it. God was already going to do it, and he revealed it to his servant. And once his servant speaks that word, he will perform it. Put your hands together for Jesus. And our second testimony is coming from our brother Christian Ashon. He's a dancing star. Oh, put your hands together for him as he comes. Hallelujah. Christian, what has God done for you?
Hello. I want to give God a glory for saving me from a fatal death last 3 weeks. When
God saved you from an accident.
Yes, please.
Tell us about it. How did it happen?
Okay, so after center service last 3 weeks, I went to drop some people off at their hostels and halls. And on my way back, I got to the Legon poolside. Then I heard a sound. After which, there was a smell in the car, so I decided to get down and check if the car was okay. I checked at the tires. There was no flat tire. So, but the snow was also down. So I was thinking, let me just drive on. And as I sat in the car, I felt like, let me just check the engine of the car. Immediately, I lifted the bonnet. There was a click, and the engine was on fire.
The engine of the car was on fire?
Yeah.
Were there people in the car?
There were people in the car, so I had to shout and tell them they should get out of the car because the engine was on fire. Then I didn't know what to do because it was my dad's car, and I didn't know how to go home and tell him that I've burnt your car.
So, it was your dad's car. Your dad gave you a car to use on campus.
Yes, on campus.
And after center service, you were dropping some people.
Yes, please.
And you could smell something in the car. And when you got down, you opened the bonnet. The bonnet caught fire.
Yeah.
What happened?
I just want to thank God because I didn't know what would have happened if I continued driving on. Maybe would have died in the fire. And I thank God for the life of the
people. So was everybody safe?
Everybody was safe.
Were you able to turn off the fire?
I was able to turn off the fire.
Why don't you put your hands together for Jesus? God is going to preserve your life in the mighty name of Jesus. The Bible says, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. God is keeping you and preserving you in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Is there more?
Yeah, there's more. So the next day, I took my trust key and went to work. And my dad called me and said that he wants a passport size picture of myself. So the next day, I came, gave it to him and went to work. So that's the next day was Thursday. So Friday morning, I gave him the passport size pictures, went to work, came back, asked him how the car was. He said the car was okay. I told him that I should go into his office and get him a couple of papers, which included a brown envelope.
A what?
A brown envelope.
A brown envelope.
A brown envelope.
It seems I've heard this type of thing before. It was a box. Now it's an envelope. May you receive something good in Jesus' name. And what happened when he went for there?
I gave everything to him and he told me to open the envelope.
Brown envelope.
Yes, I opened it and there were papers in the envelope with my picture on it.
The picture was on the
paper. On the papers in the envelope. Yeah, so he told me I can go. I went back, dropped the envelope. I was going. I asked him, where am I going to? So I'm going to my room. He said, where's the envelope? He said, the envelope is in the office. He said, go for it, it's yours. I was like, okay. I went, I came out, I took the envelope, I opened it, and it contained a paper saying that I'm the owner of a new car. He has registered.
You are the owner of
a new car.
You are the owner of
a new car.
Are you sitting there like that? Give the Lord a shout of praise.
Amen.
He is the owner of a new, brand new car. Give the Lord a shout of praise. God will do it for you too. Listen, instead of your dad getting angry with you, that you've set his car on fire, he calls you and gives you a brown envelope.
Yes.
And when he opened the brown envelope, there are documents.
Yes.
And he says that this car is now yours.
It's now mine.
So where is the car?
The car is parked.
It's parked right here. Your car will be parked too. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Christian, so what do you have to say?
Thank God for preserving my life and using the prophets of the house to speak good things into our life. I know that I'm standing here today, and tomorrow I know that it will be your turn. I thank God for whatever you
have done. Put your hands together for a powerful testimony. He's standing here today because of the grace of God. God will do it for you too. Our second testimony is coming from my brother Edwin. Edwin Quay is an instrumentalist and from the Lehman Brothers Center. Put your hands together for him. Wow. Edwin, what has God done for you?
I want to thank God so much for my life. In January, Daddy asked us to come and pray. That's between the porch and the altar.
Between the porch and the altar.
Yes. And usually January is a very long month.
January.
So you have to calculate.
Some people have said we should split that month into two. Yeah. So you didn't have any money in January.
I have some money. Split it so much so that it will be enough for me to pay off and to do everything and then take care of myself.
But you were here for the between the porch and the altar.
Yes, please.
So what happened?
I left work and I came to pray. So I was just praying and Daddy led us to pray for the will of God for our life. And I was praying for the will of God concerning my finances.
The will of God concerning your finances.
I was praying for
you. Were talking to God about the will of God concerning your finances. What happened?
And then as I was praying, I didn't bring my phone.
Notice, he said he was what, praying. Wasn't talking to anybody. He was talking to who?
God.
And what happened?
So when I went back home, I took my phone and then I was just going through my messages. And then I just saw a message from my uncle from Lighthouse Dallas.
Your uncle from where?
Lighthouse Dallas.
Dallas is where?
In the U.S.
In the United States of America. And what happened?
And then he said, he sent me a screenshot of me praying at church. He said,
your uncle was watching.
Was streaming
live from Dallas.
Yes, please.
And the other said he saw you praying between the porch and the altar.
Yes, please.
You were busily sipping.
I was busily sipping.
And so?
And then he said, oh, he just feels like blessing me. So he sent $100 just like that.
He said he feels like blessing you. And he sent you $100 just like that. This brother was talking to God. God spoke to the angel. The angel spoke to him. That's an international premiere. Are you sitting there like that? Give the Lord a shout of praise. He said he came to pray. He was talking to God. He didn't talk to anybody about his problem. So are you happy you came to pray between the porch and altar? Were you expecting to receive anything when you were coming?
No, at all.
So is it a blessing to
pray? It's a blessing to pray.
Wow.
And I want to encourage everyone, no matter where you are, there's a way you can make it to church and come and pray. So when day 9 to 12 is announced, I beg you, please come and pray. You might never know what you're going to get.
Wow, put your hands together for a powerful testimony. Day 9 to 12 is on the way and you must be there. Amen. Our final testimony is coming from our sister, Miss Detto. She's a dancing star. Please put your hands together for her. What has God done for you, lady?
I want to give God glory for giving me a supernatural promotion at work through the prophecies of the prophet.
How did it happen?
Last year in November, we all don't know what happened to our boss in the office. So she'll go and say a lot of things about you, negative things to the director. So one of my colleagues was actually sacked in November.
One of your colleagues was sacked?
Yes. And I was very scared because I couldn't afford to lose my job. So January, it was as if I was the one on the hot seat. I went to work and the director called me that your boss said this and that. Even though we've given you a contract for 1 year, you have been put on probation for 3 months.
They put you on probation?
For 3 months. And my boss was to supervise me, give information and things to the head.
This same boss who supervised the sacking of your
yes.
colleague. He's the one supposed to supervise you during these 3 months.
During this
how did you realize that you're gone? What happened?
So I was praying and daddy prophesied on 31st night that this year only good things will happen to us, not bad things. So I really believed the person. I was playing them over and over again. And I went to work. HR came to my office and just said that, oh, where is your boss? We said she's not around. And she's like, oh, your boss has resigned.
The boss has resigned.
Yes, she has resigned.
The boss who ensures that people are signed has resigned.
She has resigned.
Why don't you give the Lord a shout of praise? Your enemies will resign in the name of Jesus. And what happened?
And just last week, Monday, Daddy Professor the other weekend said that we will receive a letter with good news in it. I wrote it down with the date and I was praying that I will receive a letter with good news in it. And then the HR account came to my office and gave me a brown envelope.
I want
a brown envelope.
You also got a brown envelope. Receive a good brown envelope this week. Receive a good brown envelope this week.
Supervisor became the head of the unit and I am next in line. I'm her junior, so I'm the second person in the office and my salary has been increased, taking effect this February.
So instead of being sacked, you were rather promoted and your salary was increased.
Salary.
Oh, are you sitting down like that? Give the Lord a shout of praise. God will do it for you too. You see, the prophet spoke what God told him. When he stands here under the anointing, God will speak to him and he will speak to you. Your duty is to believe the word of God, because where the word of the king is, there is what? Hallelujah. So what do you have to tell us, lady?
I just want to tell us that we should believe in the prophecies, and I thank God so much for the prophet he has given us to bless our lives. Amen.
Wow, put your hands together for a powerful testimony. The power of God is present because His word is present. And today, as you hear the word of God, believe it. Put your hands together for powerful testimonies.
Sunday morning. See.
Sunday. Yeah, oh, that's why I really. Thank you.
expect a miracle.
And I expect a miracle today.
I expect a miracle.
I expect a miracle today.
Nothing is impossible.
Nothing is impossible to those who believe and say.
I expect a miracle.
I expect a miracle today.
Father, thank you. We expect miracles today as we sit here, as we receive your holy word. Thank you for miracles in every life, in the name of Jesus. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 10. It says, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification or without significance. We don't say signification anymore. We say significance, but it's still the same thing. So what are these different voices? Number one, the voice of God, the voice of the flesh, which is your feelings. Your feelings can tell you, marry this person. You shouldn't follow that voice. I've told you, many people look nice, but may not be nice, and especially may not be nice for you. You know, everybody is nice. But the reason why, because sometimes you would think that, you know, who is going to marry this person if you say the person is not good? You get what I'm saying? But it's what it is usually it's not nice for you. You see, there's somebody who may be nice for someone else, but not nice for you. So that's why you don't have to just listen to the voice of your flesh, but listen to the right voice. Then there's a voice of the mind, which is logic. And last week I was sharing with you about Paul, when Paul was on a journey, and the captain and the owner of the ship said, we should go. And Paul said, I perceive this journey will not be without hurt and much damage. But the captain of the ship preferred to listen to the owners. They wanted to listen, or the centurion listened to the things that the master of the ship said, rather than what Paul said. Because he thought probably that Paul was afraid of going. He was going to prison, like a higher prison. Maybe he was being transferred from Ashafot to Insawam. So it was like Paul was giving an excuse why the car shouldn't go, or there'll be an accident on the way. You know, so he preferred to listen to the owner of the ship. So that's the voice of logic. Because the Bible says that a soft wind blew. A wind blew softly. And then it was like, oh, everything is okay now. There's a cool wind. And it's like, when the south wind blew softly, you know, they thought, wow, everything is okay now because there's a south wind that is blowing softly. Rather than that one here, you can see, your mind will say, don't go. But this one, hallelujah. It's like elections, you know. The south wind may blow for a party. And the party will feel that, oh, we are in a comfortable lead. But, huh? We are what? Cruising to victory. Wow. But the south wind is blowing, and it's like, it turns into another thing. Hey. Amazing. Then we have the voice of the devil during the drama, which is also, the drama is a message for you. The film stars, they were showing you what happens when you rise up and pray, and you wake up and pray.
And either song is also telling you, wake up and pray. Some of you, we cannot wake you up. It's as if you are dead when you sleep. You know? Yes.
That's how sometimes they take living people to the mortuary. Your sleep is so deep. Be healed of too deep sleep.
I receive it.
Then we have the voice of a prophet, which is an important voice. And you must know what is the voice of the prophet, what it's for. And then the voice of the Bible. All these are found in my book, The Art of Hearing. I'm reading actually from my book. The voice of your friends. All right? The voice of your friends, also another voice, very important. Then the voice of your spirit, inner spirit. And then the voice of your spouse is another important voice. We are actually here because somebody listened to his wife. That's Adam and then Abraham. You know, these two famous individuals famously introduced us to all our difficulties by listening to the voice of a spouse instead of listening to God. All right? Then the voice of circumstances. And then the voice of your own will. Okay? So these are very important voices that I want us to be careful of. Now, the voice of circumstances is very, very important. And I want us to look at the voice of circumstances. Amen. Circumstances are not what you should lead, what should lead you. Amen. Because God has called you to do great things in this life. Turn with me to Matthew 13 and verse number 20. Matthew 13 and verse number 20. All right? Circumstances should not lead you. Amen. Verse 18. Hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then comes the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. Alright, but he that received, this is he that received the seed by the wayside. Verse 20. He that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon he receiveth it with joy. Yet he has not root within him. And when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended. Okay? And then, verse 22, he also that received the seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Now, what it also means is that this is a person who was guided by the circumstances of the day. Is that not so? What were the circumstances that guided the person? He received a word from God. All right? God said this. He heard the preaching. God says this. And then he experienced tribulation or trouble because of the word. You know, then number two, Bible says the deceitfulness of riches. As soon as he became a little prosperous, he was guided away from the word. At first he was going to obey the word. Then he became a little rich. And then that was it. He was guided. And then the cares of this world. He got married. He had a child. He had a family. And then he was guided away by these circumstances. And then the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches. And what else? There's another one. They guide him. All right? They guide him away from what God says. Amen. Are you with me? So, you must be careful, especially by the cares of this world. They are not sins. Normal responsibilities. So great people are those who rise above circumstances and do what is right in spite of the circumstances. Circumstances will not lead you to the will of God. If you are thinking that things will be okay and then you'll be able to do the will of God, then you are not likely to ever do the will of God. So from today, if you want to experience the blessings, and what are the blessings? Isaiah 48 verse 17. What does it say? Thus says the Lord, I am he that teaches you to profit and leads you in the way that you should go. Not circumstances. Circumstances don't lead you in the way you should go. Never. Never. Verse 18. Oh, if only you had listened to my commandments. In other words, if you had rejected what circumstances are guiding you to do. Because the riches of this world deceive you. The cares of the world deceive you. Tribulations, the problems now tell you, no, this is what you should do with your life. So when you are led by the circumstances of this life, you never amount to much in God. Okay? So determine to be aware and conscious that when God's word is clear to you, don't follow circumstances. Follow what God is leading you to do. If we were following circumstances, we would not be here. Circumstances, you have to fight. You have to fight to be doing the will of God. Yeah, it's a fight. Things stand. Circumstance means circumstances. Circum is around. Stance is stand. So things standing around. You see, things standing around should not guide you. Amen. Amen. Things standing around in your life shouldn't be the reason for what you do. This church is not here. Circumstances, how can you find a land at Legon? There's a small piece of land we found here. And we squeeze ourselves in. That's it. Go and try and find the land in Legon. And see. When we came here, there was a land. They told us the land here is still there. Where the new suit, I mean, slum is developing all the way there. $5 million, they told us. That's the price. $5 million. So what are we going to do? We're going to cry? No, we got this little waterlogged forest here. And we say, why not? We can be here. And, we are forcing to be here. And we are here. Yes. That is how your life will be too. You see, a person who is just blown around by circumstances, you will never be anything important. Yes. Yeah. Circumstances must not determine your fate. Difficulties, cares of this world. When God called the man and made a great supper, one said, I've married a wife. I can't come. That's a circumstance. Don't allow it. Another one said, I bought a land. Don't allow your business. J.C. Penney. You know, J.C. Penney is a big shop in America. You know, he said, if anyone's business keeps him from serving God or going to church on Sunday, then he probably has too much business which God did not intend him to have. And these are the words of millionaires and people who serve God. Okay? So decide that circumstances at home, circumstances in your life will not determine what you will do. Almost anything God has asked me to do had 20 circumstances against it. When I started to be a pastor, no people were pastors. It was so strange. How will I look after my children? How will I look after my wife? You get what I'm saying? We didn't have any money. I was richer as a student. So when I started to work, that I became poor. Because my father was giving me money when I was a student. And my salary as a doctor was less than the pocket money my father was giving me. So poverty struck when I started to work. Can you imagine that? It was when I left to go into the ministry. Actually, on the same month, they increased the salaries of doctors. But it was very low. Yes, very low. You get it? But circumstances did not decide what I would do. No. I decided I'm going to be a pastor. God has told me to be a pastor and to be a shepherd. And I'm going to do it. Okay? All the countries we've been to in the crusade, we are not led by the circumstances. If you read about countries, you will never go there. Never on this earth. Can you hear me? Yeah. You never go there. When we were going to Liberia, the circumstances of the road. In fact, what happened was they even took a picture of a truck which drove from Nigeria and how it was spoiled by the time it was able to enter. And how bad. The worst roads we had was in Liberia. To enter Liberia. If you've ever seen our documentary on crossing borders, the worst was Liberia. Yeah. Scary. But those circumstances were not what to tell. What I know is that there is a country, it's called Liberia. And I know that I've not been there. And I know that I have to go there. That's what I know. Circumstance should not guide me and tell me, oh, these people, they don't have money. These people, our cars will be spoiled. This road is not good. That is not what should guide me. Deceitfulness of riches will not guide me to spend. If circumstances were guiding me, I would spend more of my time in America. There's more money per unit. Even under Trump, there's more money now in America because it promotes business. Yeah. There's more, the economy is up. People have jobs. You rarely hear me going to America or going to a place because there's money there. No. You rather hear me in Zambia or Mozambique. Yes. So if you want to be great, it said in Isaiah 48, verse 17, I am the Lord who teaches you how to be profitable and how your life will be profitable. And I'm the Lord who leads you where you should go, not circumstances. So if God has called you, you must follow. If God guides you, you must do it. I when God spoke to me to write books, I mean, my first question, who will ever read my book? I don't know anybody who will read my book. How will my books be read by, even sold in shops? I took my book to the bookshop in England. They look at it, turn around, they said, We know a charity which is sending free books to Sierra Leone. But we don't have space for your book here in this shop. Today, that shop, hardly anybody goes there. They are almost all closed, all those bookshops. But as an author, I am moving from height to height, having produced more than 19 million books that are being bought and sold. People live off my books. But the circumstance which I'm not an American, and I don't have access to their publishing chains. And today publishing has gone down because there's no more control by anybody. Everybody is his own because of the internet. Everybody can do what he wants to do. But at first it was controlled by Zondervan and Nelson and certain powerful businesses. They controlled printing, but now printing is not controlled by anybody. That's why Newsweek and Time, they've stopped producing it because nobody even will buy all these things. It's amazing. So if I follow circumstances, I have nothing. But if you go around many places, I'm not an American. My circumstances are completely different. So if you want to be great or you want to experience Isaiah 48, verse 17, and verse 18. Oh, if you had listened to my commander rather than listening to the circumstances, then you would have had peace like a river. And your righteousness would have been like the waves of the sea. You would have been so good to me, righteous to God. If you listen to my word rather than the circumstances that are around you, then you will have so much peace. The circumstances we have, even in the country, are such that they always say to you that if you want to do well, you have to go and get a loan. That's what they say. But you can make it without a loan. Yes. Even the government is sitting there. Maybe they are waiting for loan to build a road from here to Kumasi. But even our church, if our church decides that, okay, since they will not make the road, from here to Kumasi, we'll cast concrete. Just as a church, from here to Kumasi, at least in 8 years or 12 years, we will reach Kumasi for the country. Is it not true? Yeah, for the concrete we have been casting, if we start now, to the end of this term, whoever is there, 4 years, 4 years, 4 years, by 12 years, do you not think by then we will get to Kumasi? Just the church on its own. So, circumstances can guide you and say, oh, we need China, we need this. And Africans are very controlled by circumstances. When you see Africa now, you go to some of these countries, Zambia and others, they even have Chinese banks. Yeah. There are so many there that they have their own bank. You see, this road is built by this one, built by this one. But we ourselves, to rise up and overcome the circumstances and do something for ourselves, not us. We only know how to look and say, oh, white man. Oh, white man. We wait on thee for thy loans and thy gifts. But we ourselves, we can do nothing. We are waiting for thee to come and continue the road to Kumasi. Hey, I'm up. The next thing that you must learn to do is to follow a door, an open door. Open doors. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. Now, look at something that God does. Everybody, I hope you are listening. I'm showing you how to hear and know that God is showing you the way. It says, I know thy works. Are you watching? Yes. And behold, I, God, hallelujah, I have set before thee, wow, an open door. Amen. And no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. So a door is something that God opens before his children. Hallelujah. He just puts a door, says, this is a door. Go through this door. Now, someone said, so how do I know when a door has been opened? Huh? Do you want to know how to know when there is a door? Are you sure you really want to know when there is a door? Are you really, really sure? The answer is not gospel difficult. Let's look on the wall and see. How can we know whether this is a door or not? If you look on stage, you see there are some doors there. If you try to go through here, it cannot go. Here cannot go. Here cannot go. Here doesn't want to marry me. Here says no. This business cannot work. This girl says no. This girl says no. This is the third girl who says no. This boy has changed his mind. The tall one I like, he says I don't like you. The short one I like, he says you are too tall. This one says no. This one says no. This place is not working. This one is not working. You see, I'm showing you how to know, even if you are blind. How can I know? This one says no. This one, I was with him for 7 years. He says I shouldn't go. This one says no. This one, it was nice and very beautiful. I thought it was the one, but says no. Here too says no. Hey, something is happening here.
Yeah. Wow.
The door is the place that is working in the midst of all the other things that are not working. Yes. That's how to know the door. Everything else is not working, but this is working. I mean, that's how to know, even if you are blind. Which, in a sense, we are spiritually. Now, if God has opened for you a door, some things you should see that I tried to do computers, but it wasn't working. I've tried to sell iron rods. It's not working. I tried to do what? Space to space. What is that? Mobile money. Home center. I've tried to do to sell Indomie. It's not working. But when I started to sell make Kele Wele, since I started my Kele Wele business, Charlie, more clients, more customers. But you see, often when it seems this one is working, people don't want the one that is working. I want another one that is not working. And you see somebody standing here and chiseling the wall. He says he's going forward. And you are chiseling the wall for the last 7 years. You are chiseling. How long will we get through this door? Do you know that when I came here, in fact, I was told that, oh, this place is not good. There's water here. There's this. It cannot be. And so on. I said, you know, I said, take me. I want to see the place. And I came, small place here. I said, you know what? Nothing is working. We have tried here, 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 5 million here. This is a small, small gap. The price was able. We can. I said, it is it. We enter. Yes, that's how we found the Kodesh too. The day that our walls were broken, is that evening I was taken to the Kodesh. Yes. The day that the government came to break the walls, the NDC government, I'm not afraid of the name of the government, the NDC government came to break our wall. That day, we got open a door, Kaneshi. Yeah. And there we were moving. Yes. So you must see what God is doing for you. He's opening certain doors. One brother, he proposed to a sister. And people questioned him after he proposed to her. They said, why do you take this girl? This girl, are you sure? And everybody, they didn't really also know her, but they were questioning why. You know the answer he gave? He said, all the girls I proposed to in the First Love Church, all of them said no. This is the only girl who likes me. This is the only girl who likes me. He said, no, open door for him. This is the only girl who likes me. All of them don't like me. This one likes me. Is it a blessing? May your eyes open to see whatever represents a door for you.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 8. Are you with me? Please, I want you see, I'm showing you, you see, there are people who are waiting for a prophet to prophesy. Then they say, well, I now know what to do. But I'll tell you, if you want to serve God, a prophet is not God. And a prophet also makes mistakes. And a prophet can be a source of direction. But if you live your life saying that God will only speak to me through a prophet, you make a very great mistake in your life. Because Romans 8:14 says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Not as many as are led by a prophet. So a prophet can be part of the Spirit leading you, but it's not the Spirit. And these are ways that the Spirit also leads. He says, I have said, you see the verse we read before, Revelations. He says, I have set before thee, Revelations 3, I am God, I've set a door before you. Everywhere is closed except here. That's why some sisters don't get married. Because God closes all the other doors and opens a door to this guy. Who may be shorter than you. Or blacker than you wanted. Or fairer than you wanted. He may be an albino. Yes. He may be multicolored. But a door is set before you. Everywhere is blocked except here. That's the door. That's how to know a door. I showed you the door. The rest are wall. The door is the place that opens in the midst of everything else that doesn't open. That's the door. I hope you are understanding me. Yeah. If I want to advise somebody, God has anointed me with wisdom and I could give counsel. When I speak to this, doesn't care. When I speak to this, doesn't book me. When I speak to this, doesn't say, I cancel all these prophecies in Jesus' name. I say, whatever, you don't listen. Then I find somebody who listens to my advice. I have to say, consider it as a door that is open to my advice and flow with it. And leave the rest. Because everything else is not working. It's a door that's open for me. And a door is being opened for you today in your life.
I receive it.
Look at it. Back to 1 Corinthians 16 verse 8. Now, it says, I will stay at Ephesus until Pentecost. That's Good Friday. Verse 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me. But there are many adversaries. Yes. A great door. So why did he, look at what he decided to do. Look at verse 8. He says, I've decided to stay here. This is why I am staying here. Paul is explaining why he decided to stay at Legon, or why he decided to stay in Kumasi, or why he decided to stay with this brother, or why he decided to stay in this job. Because it's like this is a job that they seem to be even interested in you. This is a job where somebody even likes you. This is a job where things seem to be working. He said, I've decided to stay here. Why? Because a great door is open for me here. This is where the door opened. The other ones are not opening. Listen, God must be able to guide you. God must be able to tell you, stay here. The Paul said, I'll stay at the Pentecost. I would have left earlier, but I've decided to stay. Because a great door, a big open door of ministry has been opened to me. Why did I go to South Africa? I've been to South Africa for many years. Because a great door was opened to me there. I preached in a Grace Bible Church. There are many churches, but a door was opened to me there. In fact, the first ever invitation I had to an outside Ghana was to my friend Bishop Bosasono. First ever preaching outside. A great door was open. For years he invited me. And in Durban, great door opened to me. And why would I go there? Because the door, why would I continue going there? Why did I stay there? For all those years, more than 20 years and more. Because a great door.
Hallelujah.
And when I say a great door, in the midst of nobody else in South Africa invited me to do anything. Everything was a block wall. The first ever praying for the sick outside the walls of my church was there. A great door opened to me year after year after year after year. To the point where I consecrated himself as a bishop in front of all the bishops and pastors of South Africa. Yes. A great door. A great door. A great door. In the midst of a thousand other doors which don't open. They maybe read my books, but they will never call for me. So watch out. You see, sometimes people walk away from their jobs. It's the only place where you are recognized. That's really what it is. And they get up and they say, bye-bye. Bye-bye to the door. Bye-bye to the door that was open to me. Do you think anybody else will be interested in you dancing? Maybe now when they see you dancing, then they say, hey, dancing is a nice thing. Maybe now. But a door was open to you for your dancing, for your singing. Yes. In the midst of thousand other churches and places which are not interested in such things. So, this is a key to sometimes staying in an area. Yes. Staying in an area of expertise. Staying in a place where there seems to be a blessing. I'm a pastor. I'm also a medical doctor. I can go into medicine. Because I'm active medically. I can do it. If tomorrow I have to start from tomorrow Monday, I sit in the clinic. I'm very comfortable. I'll see patient after patient after patient. From morning to evening, I can do it. I'm do it. I've run clinics. I've done every surgery, everything. It's something I know. It's what I learned in school. Yes. But a great door of ministry has been opened to me. Yes. Why would I go to Manila? Because a great door out of nowhere. Why would I go to Malaysia? Because out of nowhere, thousands of pastors and churches. Then this man just take an interest in you and say, come. And keeps on saying, keep coming. Keep coming. I want you to come. I want you to come. Door open. Door open. Door open. In the midst of, listen, you must also look at the things that don't happen. That's the way to know this is a door. Yeah. How beautiful are you? your face like mine. I said, how beautiful are you? How beautiful are you? And somebody says, I like you. How beautiful are you? How beautiful? This is the only question that I ask. How beautiful are you? Now, you see somebody, a person, a brother has proposed to you, and you say the brother is too thin. He's too thin. Meanwhile, you have never given birth, but you are the size of somebody who has given birth 3 times. And he likes you as you are, and you are arguing. So today, we are learning. Don't try to understand the difference. Don't follow the voice of circumstances. Because circumstances, God has said something. Do this. Circumstances are all difficult around you. Still do what God says. Circumstances will never advise you to pay tithes. Yeah. Circumstances. Tithes. That you don't know, you are not in the world. Maybe you are new. Ask the person, how old are you? You must be a new person in this world. Circumstances don't favor the paying of tithes. It's only those who follow the voice of God above circumstances who pay tithes. Circumstances don't favor the paying of tithes for anybody. And rich people who you would have thought it would be easier for them to pay, at the worst, they don't pay tithes at all. You come and put something fake in the offering and just to throw dust in your eyes. If they were to pay tithes of the things that God gives to them, you will see that so many fundraising and things we say, the person will just quietly just do it on the side. Number two, I showed you a door. Doors. Watch out for doors. Because God is the one who says, me, I've opened doors for you. I've set a door before you. I've set this door. Here, this is your chance. This is your chance. Kabashatabarabara. Amen. Acts chapter 14. Look at Colossians chapter 4. I prefer that because we'll be ending the last. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Verse 3. Without praying for us also, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Amen. 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 What is a door of utterance? It's a door, opportunity to preach. Yeah. Now, look at us young people. Where will you get a chance to preach in this world? So when we are making you basenta, and I'll introduce a new basenta, it's coming in. Yes. When we are making you basenta leaders, You are quarreling about it. This is your chance. It says, God has opened to us a door of utterance. A chance to be a speaker, a preacher, a counselor, an advisor, a minister. It's a door. So when you are in a church where you've got a door of utterance, they say, oh, what church is it when you come? Every day there's some work to do. Then you are new. Ask a person sitting next to you, are you the one who said that? Look, those are the, you see, they are not even asking, the people there, they are not even asking. It's their first time. A door is opened for your attraction. Look at me, there's a door open for me to preach right here. Beautiful, I'm preaching. Door of utterance. Door of preaching. Now, the final guidance that I want you to know when God is guiding you, I want you practically, how is through directed paths. Where God stops speaking to you, but speaks to your paths. He doesn't talk to you. When you pray, he doesn't mind you, but he talks to the roads and tells the road, road to the left a bit. My child is coming. Road, move to the left. My child is coming, and then my child will be going on you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine own understanding. Why? Why would God say, four of you stand up. Let's sit down. Four of you stand up. One, two, three, four. Stand up. You don't want to stand up. Have you been to school? Are you in school? You're all students. Beautiful. Which year are you in? Second. Fourth. Third. Now, I look at your face. Did you do arts or science? Science. What are you doing in science? Now you are doing law. I did science at first. And you've downgraded to law. You couldn't continue the science. Now, is it true that you had, did you do WASI? WASI. You had 8 A's. Huh?
Six
A's. You. You had 8 A's. You had 8 A's. 8 A's. I don't want to ask how many A's. Your Honor, no further questions. But you see, I don't want to ask them because I don't want to embarrass them. But if you be honest, most of the exams you did, if you passed, just above 50%. True or not true? So if you had 52%, what does it mean? You guys, if you had 52%, what does it mean? It means you don't know 48%.
Almost half.
And the pass mark in Legon used to be 40%. Yes. 40%. That used to be the pass mark some years ago. Now it's, I don't know what the pass mark is. So you see, most exams we do proves that you lack understanding. Even those of you who are doctors, you stand up. Are you a student?
No, I'm a medical doctor.
Medical doctor, small girl like you. You had 100% in anatomy.
No, please.
You had 100% in physiology.
Never.
100% in biochemistry.
No.
100% in medicine, that is when you are treating blood pressure and those, 100%.
No. Wow.
But you had what?
52.
52? And she's qualified as a doctor. 52. She doesn't know, and she's coming to treat you. She doesn't know 48% of the things. So, listen. Look at the reason why God has said something. Are you watching the verse? Lean not to your own even understand it. Because your understanding is very deficient. It's so deficient that universities and so on, they have accepted that, Charlie. I mean, when you learn, your understanding doesn't go far. Can't think far. Yes. So why will you depend on that understanding which is not going far? Huh? Is it not true? Paul, if you see that, I don't want to ask your mic again. Verse 6. In all your ways, do what? Acknowledge it. When we get to Porch and Altar Day 9, 10, 11, and 12, we are going to ask to acknowledge the Lord in all our ways, all ways of our lives. Now, you are likely to finish the prayer meeting without hearing a voice that says, "Thus says my son, my daughter." No. But he will direct, not you. He will not speak to you. He will speak to the parts. Now, the best way that you do this is when you start traveling internationally. I see 150 visas. Receive it. Sit down.
Receive it.
The best way to see Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 6 is in an international airport. When you come out of the plane at Heathrow Airport, you'll be there. You'll be there soon.
I receive it.
You'll be there soon. You'll never be restricted to Ghana.
I receive it.
As long as you live, in Jesus' name. Sit down and listen, because you need this when you get to the international airport soon. The prophecy you believe is the one that is going to happen. When you get to Dallas Airport, when you get to Houston Airport, when you get to John F. Kennedy Airport,
I receive it.
When you get to Frankfurt Airport,
I receive it.
When you get to Paris de Gaulle Airport,
I receive it.
When you get to Moscow Airport,
I receive it.
How will you know the way from the aeroplane to outside? When you get to Geneva Airport,
I receive it.
Do you know that when you get to Geneva Airport, you come off the plane, then you go underground and you walk under the airport, under the planes, and you go. There are many routes. Some ride to go to another plane. Here we go to another place. Here we go to a prison. Different places. You'll never be lost in an international airport. Now, how do you know what to do? Do they give everybody a map on the plane? They say, as you are arriving at Bogota Airport in Colombia, here is a map of the airport. No! When you arrive and you open the door and you come out of the plane, nobody will even speak to you. You just keep walking. Every wrong door has been closed. Only the right ones have been left open. So you just keep walking. You walk, you tell them, as if you were born there. As if you were born there. As if you were born there. And you go to the right place. So the airport people have already directed the paths. They've closed here, open here, close here, open here, close here, open here. You can't go. No signs even. You don't need signs. So when you acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, he rises up and says, my angel, go and close this door. Open this long road for him. Close here. Close here. Close this place. Okay, you can go after porch. After between the porch and the altar, keep walking, keep walking, because you'll be walking exactly. You'll never come to a prison, you'll come to a beautiful place, and then you say, wow, he has brought me without speaking a word. That's why sometimes you wonder, so God, I pray, you don't even say, say something, let there be a voice so that we can even know that you've heard. Yeah, so you see, I've been walking. When I close here, close here, close here. It's similar to the doors. It's close, 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 close. Here it's open. Then it goes for a long time. You see, I'm doing crusade for a long time. He has opened a door for me, crusade. I'm doing more. He's opened me a door, books I'm writing, more. What is, I just keep on, I just keep on, I just keep on. Yes. Whatever it is he has done, I'm trusting him. The once I've prayed, he's going to take over. I don't need to know that place before I get there. He will guide me. There's going to be something like an explosion in some lives. It's either it will change everything. When it changes everything, you'll be wondering, what am I going to do next? But when you turn to the right side, when you turn to the left, and you see that the right is closed, the left is also closed, and the front is closed, but the back is open. And then the Lord will be telling to you to retrace your steps. Go back. I've left only the back side open. You go back. U-turn is better than knocking your head on the wall and dying on a concrete wall. So when it happens in your life, that thing I'm talking about, you see it, you hear it, you know, say, God is guiding me. God is guiding me. So this is why we pray. Because if you don't pray, the will of God will not happen. That's why Jesus prayed. Thy will be done. And after that, he just left everybody to do what they wanted to do. Yeah. Everybody behaved right. He himself was very strong. He was very cool. When they were slapping him. We never read of Jesus screaming. Some of you, there are some said, Jesus! If they had whipped you, one said, Jesus! You would have shouted. Ah! You would have begged the centurion, please, please. Jesus was cool. He was led like a, he had supernatural power to be calm. Each strike they beat him with, he was just cool. Yeah. So it was cool. But some of you, I thank you. Stop.
I won't die again. No. God will give you the power to be holy. Sit down. Do you know why some of you have been meeting bad girls? Huh? Some of you have been meeting bad girls and bad boys. And you've not been praying about your life. If you pray about your life, and one of the things that God makes you meet good people. Yeah. You see, the people you meet, they change your life. My spiritual mother, she's my friend, but also a mother. A good person taught me only holy things of God. Yes. Good people. Some of you don't, you're not meeting good people. All the people you meet are bad. Like the circumstances always lead you to somebody who is not a good person. When I look at the people that God has given me to be with and to work with, you can't find the money. I feel sorry for the government when they see that they don't have people to work for them. They don't have good people who work for you. They are not working because of money. They work as if they own it. As if they would die if it's not done. You are not getting good people. From today, good people.
Receive it.
God will direct your paths. Sit down. One day I met a brother in the church. And he was in a relationship with a sister. And 1 month passed, 2 months, 3 months, 1 year, 2 years. Every time I say, how's the relationship? So it's okay. They were a little quiet, but it's okay.
this type of mature answers. This type of like his personal. 3 years. They were not showing any signs of marriage. 4 years. So one day I stopped him in the church. I said, brother, will you not marry the two of you? He will still not answer. I'm sure it was about 5 years. Then finally, I said, what is it? He didn't want to say. I said, my life was good before I met this person. My life was good. What has happened to me since I met this girl have not happened to me before. So because of that, he had frozen. Yeah, he was not frozen. He did not want to move. So I was clean. I was clean. This girl. He didn't marry her. Yes. No, he was just looking at her. After what happened to me, he became cool. You see, some of you have met some people that have made you cool.
I receive it.
But I tell you, by the prophecy of Proverbs 3 and verse 6, God is from today going to guide you to meet people that are going to be a great blessing to you in your life.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus Christ. Both boys and girls. I said what? Both boys and girls. Yes. I mean boys who are blessing to you as a boy. When I say boy, I mean men also. And we are still boys. How many brothers are boys? Don't you like toy cars? And we still like toy cars and games. Your boys are here. There's a certain game, if I get, I play. Yeah. I play like a boy, a baby boy. I remember from my childhood that it was very nice. Yeah. Boys are going to meet good boys. Girls are going to meet good girls. Boys are going to meet good girls. You not meet a strange woman who will change your DNA. In the name of Jesus. Somebody who will help your ministry. That's how come I met Bishop Saki. Yeah, you know, before I came to the university, I went to pray in the gardens. I used to sit in the trees like a monkey and pray. I pray and pray and pray. They have hot 10 to 5. That was always the time, 10 to 5. 10 in the morning to 5. I can go the whole week. I drink water at the gate and go home with taxi. So when I went to school, then I met Bishop Saki. I don't know these people. I didn't know him for a minute. They went to school in Cape Coast. I didn't go to school in Cape Coast. I've not been there before. I met people, my wife and those people. That's how I met them. God will make you meet good people. Yes. But there are some people, when you meet them, they teach you things. You never knew all these things were there. They show you things that are done. You don't know that such things are done. But I prophesy over your life that you are going to meet the right people.
I receive it.
And God is going to send you the best people of your life.
I receive it.
Stand to your feet, everybody. Father, we thank you for today. You have blessed us. Lift your hands. Father, for every hand lifted up, let it be divine direction from today. Set open doors before us.
I receive it.
May we never follow the voice of circumstances. Direct our paths. In Jesus' name I pray. And as every head is bowed today and every eye closed, if you are here, you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, raise up your right hand. As I pray with you, God bless you. Your right hand. I want Jesus Christ to come into my life. God bless you. I see so many hands. Pastor, pray with me now. I want Jesus to save my life now. If you've lifted your hand, come very quickly. Come to me here. I'm coming to meet you here. Come, come, come. Come, come all the way to the front. Come and stand here. Come and stand here. I want to pray with you. Just come. Keep coming. Encourage them as they come. Encourage them as they come. Let him have his way.
Let him have his way.
Come unto Jesus. Lift your hand and say it.
Come unto Jesus.
Give him your life.
Give him your life today. Come unto Jesus.
Let him have his way. Lift your hands. Listen, there is somebody here. This is what the Lord is saying. A door is open to you, but you don't like the door. A door is open, but you don't like the door. But from today, you will love the door. You will love the door that God opens for you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Say this prayer. Everyone who's come to the front, close your eyes. Say, Jesus, please forgive me for my sins. I open my heart to you. I receive Jesus as my Savior and my Master. Cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. I love you, Lord. I accept you as my Savior and my Master. Thank you. Please write my name in the book of life. Say it again. Please write my name in the book of life. Say it one more time. Please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, I pray for all these, that none of them will fall by the roadside, but they will stay for you and live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Now, I want to give you this book. Give to them right away as my present for this Sunday morning that you have come to give your life to Jesus. I don't want you to go empty-handed, and I'm giving you a book. These soldiers. What group is this? Understanding Campaign. These people in the captain's, red captain's Salvation Corner Army. They are your friends. And when we close, come to this corner here for 1 minute. This is your ticket to this corner because it's very near my office. So you need a ticket. You come there and you'll be blessed when we close. Amen. You may go back to your seats. God bless you. It's time for communion. You may be seated. Now, any form of weakness in your body is being healed by today's communion. The Bible says that because many of you take the body and the blood without discerning the Lord's body, for this reason, many are weak and many even sleep. So the power of the Holy Communion is so great that playing with it, that's why you don't take medicine without prescription. Or the same thing that you take a lot of or in the wrong way, you can become unconscious. That's how people do certain things. I know a doctor who was arrested recently for prescribing some medicines that he should not have prescribed. Of course, in America, my own mates. Because medicine which is used in the hospital can actually harm you if you joke with it. So they don't want anybody to joke with that medicine. So this medicine we are about to eat, Jesus said, my flesh is meat. It's really meat. Did I tell you about tea today? Yeah, tea. I can give you tea. I'll just serve you tea. You think you are drinking tea, but actually, your cholesterol is coming down. Kabashakaya. And tea, you see that your blood pressure is coming down. Yes. My is drink indeed. Drink indeed. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you.
Yes.
Drink, this is my blood, which was shed for you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed.
John 6 verse 55.
The cup of blessing which we bless, it's the communion of the blood of Christ. The bread which we break, it's the communion of the body of Christ. Oh, this is the holy meal, the meal of God.
Whoa, Father, we declare this to be the body of Jesus.
Yes.
Whatever represents weakness and sickness, we thank you that as we take this divine meal, we are healed permanently.
Amen.
Receive miracles in your life and in your body. I see your life extending beyond the age of 70. In the name of Jesus. God forbid any disease that cuts you off before the age of 70.
Receive it.
Father, thank you. We receive the body as the greatest form of medicine. The healing balm. By his stripes, we are healed. Thank you for healing our lives. No devil can kill us. Your power gives us long life. With long life, I will satisfy him. We receive that satisfaction today. All curses and diseases are cut out of our lives today by this power that we receive. The body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus. May God bless all those who pay for this communion. May your water never be cut off.
Amen.
May the flowing of healing and life never stop in your life.
Amen.
May there be a river of life in your direction.
Amen.
For paying for this communion, for many to drink and to eat of the body of Jesus.
Amen.
May you also receive forgiveness of sins.
Oh, yes.
Mercies from God and grace to help in time of need. In the name of Jesus. And now, as you receive this cup, whatever mistake you've made that has directed your life to this place,
Professor,
to a place you wish you were not at, receive the spirit of recovery.
I receive it.
Receive the spirit of divine recovery.
Receive it.
In the name of Jesus.
Yes.
I stamp out all forms of wickedness and demon activity in your life.
Amen.
He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. May the blood of Jesus flow through your life now.
Yes.
And recover you now back to where God had destined for you to be. By the blood of Jesus, your mistakes are overlooked today.
I receive it.
Your mistakes are overcome today.
I receive it.
Receive divine recovery from angels. The power of God.
Yes.
Every form of armed attack,
Professor,
we command blindness into the eyes of any armed robber coming near you in Jesus' name.
I receive it.
Every type of road accident,
Professor,
that will cut off your life suddenly is aborted today in the name of Jesus. Any form of plane crash that will bring an announcement of your death to the surprise of everybody, we abort that plane crash now in Jesus' name. You are declared a divine escapee from terror and from fear in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The blood of Jesus. Lift your hands. Now, I declare that your steps are guided by the Lord.
I receive it.
From today,
yes, Lord,
you are guided into green pastures.
I receive it.
You'll never go wrong again.
I receive it.
I said you'll never go wrong again.
I receive it.
Going wrong is over now.
I receive it.
You never go wrong again in your life. In the name of Jesus. Whatever dazzles you that is wrong, may your eyes be healed so that you see clearly. Whatever demons are dancing around your life, may your eyes be open that you see clearly. Whatever power is working in your life that is contrary to the power of God, I overturn that power and overcome that power and overcome that power in the name of Jesus. Receive the blessing and the help of God.
I receive it.
For the rest of your days.
I receive it.
In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everyone said, Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the preaching of God's word. For audio CDs, DVDs, books, and other resources by Dykewood Mills, please visit our website at www.dykewoodmills.org. God richly bless you.